listener production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2... Sorry, still buffering. 1.
What's crack-a-lackin', everyone?
Oh, fantastic.
My mic's not on.
Jack hasn't turned Andy's mic on. What a brilliant start to the new podcast.
Jack.
But that's two errors. One that was technically off air and one that was on air.
I can't believe.
This would be beautiful.
You'll be happy to know
that it's on now.
Whatever comes next is great.
No, you'll be happy to know that was just an internal listening error. So your mic.
All right, so I did start. Yeah. So my what's cracker lacking everyone did.
That made it so we couldn't hear it.
We just couldn't hear it in here.
Now we can, obviously.
Yeah. Would you agree, though, Jack? It still counts as an error.
It is an error. But who's going to fire us? The radio station?
Is that the attitude, though? Because, I mean, we are doing this for podcast one, so we still have some level of cooperation.
It is a podcast. Do you want to start again?
Well, no. There's no point. You don't do it again. Well, you can't turn the car around. This podcast is a forward-moving vehicle.
No rear vision mirrors. I was test driving what's crack-a-lacking.
You've completely thrown Andy's confidence there. I mean, we would have complained anyway. Yeah. I just didn't bring it up because I didn't think it went to air. But yeah, please don't do that again.
No, it's not going to happen again. I just had to replace good afternoon, everyone. And so I'm going to trial one each week. Until we find something that we like. But yeah, definitely align through that.
Well, I'm glad that was the first one because even if done confidently or if it's a thing you said a lot, I don't think it would ever have become the intro.
No, I don't think so.
It was like sort of when they open up a water slide park and the least popular member of staff has to go down first to test that the slide's safe. I'm glad you did that one first because it was no great loss.
Nah, true. I'll cross that one off.
That's what they do when they set things up. We're gonna get A into the podcast, but B... Bring everyone up to speed, I guess, the immediate changes that are going to be different because this is no longer a radio show. This is just a podcast. Mm. First things first, again, not an audio thing, but a visual thing. How do we feel about the tracksuits?
Yeah, it's good.
We're all in matching tracksuits for the podcast.
Don't know why, but it does.
It just felt like we needed a uniform
sense
for the podcast.
Of team. And then the other thing.
Jack, I know Jack's uncomfortable about it because he feels they're too branded because people will see a photo of this online and it's obviously a specific brand of tracksuit.
Well, it's Adidas.
Yeah, I mean, you can't but miss them. And Jack just goes, this is too much.
It looks like we're
selling out. But also happy to get a free tracksuit. So
yeah, but like, Nike, Reebok.
I mean, we might switch tracksuit sponsors. If Sveta steps up and goes, hey guys, we still have a lot of parachute stuff from the 90s.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
We'll wear Sveta tracksuits all day or night.
That's a good call.
But I mean, I think we've gone with them because they feel futuristic. We've got different colours. I feel like we're stuntmen.
Yeah.
I'm happy with it.
The other thing is we're not obviously driving towards a song or an ad break.
Yeah.
Jack used to fire off songs when he was sick of us chatting.
Yeah.
And so we've thought of a different solution this time around where...
We need something to wrap it up,
don't we? If we feel like something's over, we're just going to...
We have a bell.
Ring a bell and move on to the next thing.
The only rule of the podcast.
Sorry, ring that bell again. That mic wasn't on.
Oh, you're the worst. You're the absolute worst. I'm regretting our policy of retaining 100% staff.
Is that on now?
I think that's on.
So we've all each got about. Now we'll never play. We can't play around with them because, like, the rule to be observed at all times in this podcast is: you hear the bell, go move on.
We're moving.
First thing we wanted to do.
Look, it is the people show. We put up a little bit of little form that was a valued and important podcaster form at hamishnady.com. Thousands of people have already signed up. We appreciate that immensely.
What a herd.
We thought it's important to have the people's voice in the very first podcast. We thought we wanted to start with something profound, though, Ham.
Wouldn't it be great? Because this is the start of a brand new chapter. Mm. Wouldn't it be great if the very first thing that people of the person's podcast... Person of the people's podcast. Wouldn't it be great if the very first words heard on the podcast were right up there with One Small Step for Man kind of thing. So we wanted someone that... Judging off their form that we have at hamishandy.com, everyone's welcome to go and fill it out and become a more involved member of the podcasting community. Mm. Someone that was striking us as capable of saying something profound.
Yes.
Look, I straight away, a couple jumped out at me. Mm-hmm. James here. James from the UK, but that's okay because this is a global podcast.
Yes.
And we welcome our international VIPs. Because I got two kids whose middle names are Hercules and Lion, respectively.
That's profound.
I registered their names without my wife's consent. She wasn't happy the first time, but she was resigned herself to it the second time. So I like James because he's bold.
Oh, yeah.
And he's bold and he's not scared to take risks. And that could be the guy to say something profound for us.
I really like James. I'm going to skip Motoko.
Oh, boy. No. So if you're listening to this, Motoko, deepest apologies. You know you got close.
She speaks fluent Japanese.
Well, you're skipping her or not?
Well, the reason I'm skipping her is
you're
because
not skipping her at
she
all.
She has taught her budgie to speak in three languages.
You haven't
and
skipped
I,
her at all.
And I wondered whether we wanted the first voice to, be, to be a budgie speaking in Japanese.
No, that seems insulting.
But that doesn't...
to the people, to the be people. Like, we thousands that's... registered already. We only put this form up a few days ago.
And we gave it to a Japanese
And we gave it to a bird.
A Japanese-speaking bird.
No, you'd be giving it to James over Motoko's okay, bird. So, what about this from Jordan?
Okay.
Now, you just tell me if this seems like the kind of guy that could say something profound. I'm looking for an eclectic person here. He goes, I bought myself a Coca-Cola vending machine for my 21st birthday. I bypassed the coin mechanism so you don't have to pay. I almost became a piano tuner. I haven't watched Game of Thrones. Didn't try hummus till I was 26. And I used Tinder to find a relationship, not hookups.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, he's got a lot of things. He's done a lot of things.
Yep.
He didn't try hummus till he was 26. So there's a guy that even a quarter of the way through his life, let's hope.
But that just says to me that he's inexperienced. I mean, don't we want someone that's experienced for a profound beginning?
He seems like someone that can break out of ruts to me.
Okay. How about this then, Ham? Final one for Tinder for a profound beginning.
I mean, two of his things, like most of his stuff actually with James and stuff, Jordan and stuff he hasn't done. I almost became a piano tuner and I haven't watched Game of Thrones.
This is Rachel. She's a brown belt in MMA. And she has this tattoo.
Oh, jeez. She's got the Cool Boys and the Frontman tattoo.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's dedication.
Yes.
For people that weren't aware, in the last week of last year's radio show,
yeah.
Jack got the full band tattooed and the acronym CBATFM.
Yeah.
And we all did portraits of each other. We all got tattoos for portraits of each other. They were hand-drawn, small faces. I mean, it's not, we didn't go shading or 3D.
No, hand-drawn small faces to the level of a three-year-old. But she's got the tattoo, and I think that's dedication. That's the person I think should be given a chance to do the profound beginning.
It's actually the level of at least a six-year-old. I mean, no three-year-olds could do that.
Okay.
Like, it's fine motor skills because they're very small heads.
I'm going to put her forth. Who do you want?
Look, I'm still going to put Jordan forward. Mm. Because I think he's got a lot of things that he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And if he hasn't done all that stuff, like he's got time to think.
Okay.
He's got time to think of something profound.
Well, out of those two, we'll work out after this break. We'll try and track them down. We'll work out which one is going to be given the honour.
Do you want to do the bell? It works. It works. Ding the ding.
We're back.
All right, here's what we've got.
We've managed to track both our representatives down.
We have Jordan and Rachel on the phone. They can hear us at the moment, but they won't be able to speak back because we want the first words said by the people of the people's show, by the representative of the people that we choose here, and either Jordan or Rachel. We want the first words said on this podcast by the people to be profound.
Yeah, we're looking at the level
of
one small step for man.
That would be ideal.
Yeah.
Now, I know, look, Neil probably had days to think about that. I don't think that was improvised.
Yep.
Who knows? He might have had something else he was going to go with.
Yes.
Like made it or whatever. But he didn't. He did the right thing in the moment and humanity was better off for it.
Yes.
No pressure, but that is sort of what we're looking for here for the podcast, some sort of profound statement by the people. Now, here's what we decided to do. We got two people listening to this. We're going to pick one.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give the other person to acknowledge the fact they got so close to being the person that said the profound thing.
Yep.
The other person the chance to come on afterwards and critique the first person's profound moment.
So this is the first time Jordan and Rachel are hearing this again. We're not going to put their faders up. We don't want to hear them yet because the first words spoken, we need them to be profound. Haim, who do you want to go with?
Well, look, we've discussed this as we were getting everyone together.
Yeah.
Jordan, whilst he does seem like a mixed bag and the kind of guy that would come out with something profound, it feels only right that we have to honour the fact that someone got our band's name and faces tattooed on their body.
Yes.
and give the chance to Rachel. So, Rachel, okay. We still can't hear you, Rach, but Rachel, we're going to play a bit of an intro here.
Yep.
And after that, we're going to pull the fader up, Rach, and what we need from you is you to say something profound to kick off the first voice ever on the podcast. Mm. But hopefully we'll be on hats, T-shirts, mugs, tea towels.
Absolutely, for the end of time.
Yeah.
Until the end of time, sorry.
Until the end of time. Yeah. Not just for the end of time. Yeah. We'll get value out of it all the way up to the end of the time. We don't have to wait till that day.
With a new dawn for the podcast, Hamish and Andy turn to the people for a profound beginning. With great power comes great responsibility. And today, it rests on the shoulders of...
Rachel.
These next words will set the trajectory for the life of this podcast. What philosophical, insightful, and inspiring words await. It's now over to you,
Rachel,
for the profound beginning.
Go, Rach.
All I have to say is, happy birthday, Andy.
He loved it, Rach. He loved it. And he just had another slice of his cake that he made me make him today.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, no, he's hit the bell. No.
Bye, Rach. No, we can't. We can't continue. Hey, we haven't had the podcast for about 3 months.
We haven't,
and it's been a tumultuous time for one guy particularly in our group, Jack, because his reliance on Bitcoin. You are, of all the people we know, you're the biggest investor.
How many do you hold, Jack?
Well, I got rid of some, sadly, but we're down to 4.
You had 8.
No, yeah, we had 7, and then Hayman convinced me to sell one.
Sell it at $10,000. You bought it for $300. That's just in case this made-up internet money evaporates.
He hates you for that so much, doesn't he?
It's the best thing I've ever done for you. And I tell you what, when they dropped down to 7, I wasn't getting much hate from Jack. They went down to $7,000 a few weeks ago.
For people who don't know, the cryptocurrency, it's been bouncing around. It got up to $25,000. That's when Jack was riding high. He was walking a little taller.
Yep.
He was skipping into work.
Man, last December when I was at $25,000, we're like, you think you're selling any? And Jack's very much a school of thought that he reckons it's going to 100,000.
Yep.
Then, that's why I wasn't worried about not having another job.
Yeah,
when
exactly.
When we finished on the radio last year.
Andy and I had this conversation. We're like, Jack just seems to not. Like, we went off and we're like, all right, well, we're working on a TV show. You know, we'll find other things to do. We're like, Jack seems to have zero interest in any future employment.
He literally was relying on Bitcoin.
He's building a house. I think he just thinks Bitcoin's going to go up to $1 million a coin. He's never going to have to work again. Now, that obviously hasn't been the reality. You've been forced to sell a little bit of your stash.
That's right. And
to pay for life.
And it has been, it's been a bad summer for Bitcoin. Yeah. It has gone down.
And so we texted you, Jack, and just said, hey, look, I think it'd be good to get a bit of that emotion out of your body.
Do you know?
And the best way to share emotions through song.
I know you wake up every morning. Like, if I asked you now, you'd be able to say what the price of Bitcoin is at the moment.
Yeah. I do check it every day.
To within $100. Jack wakes up every morning and checks it.
Yep.
Now, I check the price of Bitcoin. I didn't realize how much I check it, but on Google, it goes suggested websites. Like, these are the top ones you visit. The search, Bitcoin to AUD, is one of my key searches because I have no Bitcoin, but I'm fascinated by the price.
And
I'm fascinated, and I think of Jack all the time. I'm fascinated. It's kind of like I've got access to Jack's bank account. So I feel like every day I can look. It's like I've got his Combank account, and I can just look inside and see where he's at.
Well, Jack, we thought, take us on the ride that has been the Bitcoin crash in your situation.
I asked you to bring in the acoustic guitar and sing a song. Now, will this song work for people that don't own Bitcoin as an interesting insight into those that do?
Yes, because actually this is a life lesson that can, it's universal. It doesn't have to be for just Bitcoin.
It's a parable.
Maybe parable. And I think it'll surprise you, the direction of the song. But I sat down and thought, when Bitcoin crashed, how did I honestly feel? Mm-hmm. And this is what I came up with overnight. So, apologies to Yamaha as well that I don't have a Yamaha acoustic.
Stop trying to weave your sponsor in. Well, at least we know this will be played at the proper speed and not on one of Yamaha's
slow guitars.
Notoriously slow and cumbersome instruments.
All right, a song about...
Didn't even have to mention it. No one would have thought to check if you had a sponsor guitar. Okay.
All right, this is my feelings after Bitcoin has gone down significantly. What's the point of being rich? Your house is too big and you got too many cars to drive. Why not get rid of material possessions and focus on just living your life? I'm sure that you heard before that happiness can't be purchased with cash. You won't be surprised to hear a smile from ear to ear when Bitcoin crashed. I am so happy, I am so happy, I am so happy that that happened to me.
Bullshit on this.
I am so happy.
Sell them all.
I am so happy that that happened to me.
Give them away then.
Yeah, give them to
charity.
Yeah.
Give them to charity.
So next time you lose a bunch of money, realize that it's actually a good thing that it's gone.
The rap.
the breakdown.
It's like Boyz II Men.
It's not Dennis Leary.
Like forgetting to turn off data roaming when you're traveling overseas.
Yeah, who cares?
I am so happy that that happened to me. Like making a withdrawal from an ATM but walking away without the money. I am so happy that that happened to me. Like investing in the speculative market and losing 70% of earnings in 3 weeks. I'm so happy that that happened to me.
No, you're not.
I am so happy.
No, he's not.
I am so happy.
No, he's not.
I am so happy that that happened to me.
No, he's not.
That is a good thing.
No, it's not.
Bitcoin crashed. I am so thankful for that.
Wow.
Wow.
Our first acoustic and our first big lie of a song.
Yes. Jack, denial is one of the forms of grief.
He's in stage two.
I think I'm not sure what stage.
It might even be stage one.
I think he's in stage
one. We could have a song for every stage. Tune into episode 22 of the podcast for Jack's finally the acceptance song. I'm not happy and I wish I didn't put all my money in something that goes up and down by 100% a day.
Vance Joy is going to join us next, everybody. Haim, a colleague of ours, someone we used to rock with infrequently.
An ex-bandmate
launched his album during the week, Nation for Tour. Last week it was. It's out now, everybody. Vance Joy joins us on the line. Vance, welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back in with you guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously the highs of Cool Boys and the Frontman at Margaret Court Arena, it was right for you to take a few months off before.
Are you still like us buzzing from that gig, Vance?
I wish that I could say that I had no album written up to that point, and then I played that gig and I was like, you know what, I'm going to try and make a second album. But there was some songs written before then, but it did give me a lot of motivation, and it was definitely a career high.
Did you change any of the tracks on Nation of Two after that gig? And is there the much-rumoured secret track of We Are the Champions at the end? Because I notice on the disc, the actual CD runs for 200 minutes. Is there an hour or so of silence and it's right at the end?
Super secret track.
Yeah, it's a big, whatever you call it, like it's a lot of data. Mm. And they didn't want me to make it that long, but we did it.
Each CD costs $200 to print.
Vance, do you, with the whole CD thing, how many are we printing these days?
Like, you've had a billion streams. So the guys in the CD department of your record label must know they're not going to match that.
Yeah, I went to a little JB Hi-Fi. It was like a little, I guess, like a little, I did a little showcase there and there was CD. So it's always something special about holding the actual CD in the actual lyric booklet. But I don't know. I think there might have been, I don't know, maybe 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's a platinum CD these days? 100?
100 CDs.
100 CDs and you get the little gold one? You get someone from the CD Association
well,
going, thank you
look,
so
we
much.
We encourage people to go out there and get the booklet.
Buy the booklet.
It's paired beautifully.
Booklet with a bonus CD. You might still have a CD player in your car, or you chuck it in your Xbox, your PlayStation, still able to play audio CDs.
It does pair nicely with the True Story DVD.
Of which we regrettably and foolishly made physical copies of.
Hey, Vince, you and I were having a beer over the holiday break, and it got quite late, and we're down the coast, and you just went out of the blue. You were thinking you were staying the night, and you went, I got to go.
Was it your house?
Yeah.
You went, smart move, Vance.
Vance goes,
very smart move.
I got to go. And I went, oh, right.
After you noticed there's no doorknobs on any of the insides of the doors. Just before that shuts, I'm going to get out of here.
Vance said, I got to go. And I said, what? I said, oh, cool, yeah, no dramas. Yeah. And I said, why? He said, I've got to go home and stress about the release of this album. What did you do? Like, did you go home and stress about it?
That's not the night you came up to my house and we had a great night, is it, Vance?
Yeah, I did go home and stress. I think I earlier that day I got some emails, and I was just getting told what the new single would be, and I was like, I don't know, is this the right single to lead with, all that stuff. And I was like, no, I'm going to go to Andy's, have a beer, relax. And then I think at about midnight we started getting philosophical in the spa bar, and I was like, I'm stressing. And so I was like, I had to get out of there. But it was, God, what a good day.
Yeah, so, I mean, even with a beer and a spa, you were still stressed. There's nothing else Andy's got in his arsenal. He can't. If that's not going to de-stress you, you're off the property, mate. What is Vance going back to his house and stressing about things look like? Do you pace? Do you punch? Do you have a punching bag? Do you have a stress ball?
What do I do? I think it is driving. Is the music loud in the car? I like to listen to. I like to rap. I like to listen to Drake and Childish Gambino raps, and just I know them off by heart, and that kind of makes me feel like if I'm a bit stressed out, I feel like a secret badass in my
a boss
when I'm rapping.
Spitting rhymes.
Yeah. Hey,
you Vance. Wouldn't do that in Andy's bar. No. What's the cricket? You don't spit rhymes. Pop out if you want to do that. I was in the bushes. You wrap it over there.
That is true.
That's the only rule. That and wait half an hour after eating. And no rapping.
No rapping. Vance, we want to finish up with a little test. You know, how well do you know your music? You want all of us to go out and get it?
You know Drake, you know Childish Gambino. You're encouraging people to buy the plastic-cased lyrics book with the bonus CD.
We're going to play you the tiniest bits of your songs. Could be from this album. Could be
from
others.
Nation of Two.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can you pick it, all right? I know we're on a little bit of a crackly line, so that won't help you, but... Jack, fire away with the first one.
That's Late on Me.
Oh, he's out of the traps well.
And absolutely shattering the rumours that you do see on all those message boards that Vance is deaf and someone else plays the music. There's no way you could have cheated that.
Okay.
So take that, internet. I'm sick of your negativity. It's not true.
Okay, here's the next one.
Wow, that's so hard. Jeez.
Do you want a slightly longer version?
If possible, without giving it too much away.
Okay.
Look, I'm going to put in maybe two songs, and they're probably both wrong. Is it Where We Start or Call If You Need Me?
It was neither. It was Bonnie and Clyde. It was a deep cut off the new album.
Got you. It's difficult because it's that sort of A sharp to E minor.
Yeah, whatever. Let's go with the final one here. Here we go.
That's not mine.
Oh, he's picked it.
You're right. It's Ed Sheeran.
What? I mean, Vance, obviously, you, me and Andy are all very good guitarists, but for non-guitarists, what was it in that music, apart from the fact it's not yours, but what's the giveaway there? What's typically Ed that's not Vance?
Well, I guess you spend all that time writing the song, so you hope that you actually recognise the song when you hear them.
Yep.
That just didn't sound like my playing. That sounded a bit more like, and maybe like, not banjo-y, but a bit more folky or something. I don't
know. Different finger progression.
A bit better.
better.
Sounded like a guy that was just trading initially off his relationship with One Direction.
Yeah.
And then then standing on his own two feet as a solo artist.
Vance.
No, you got it, Vance. Well done.
Mate, we'll leave it there. Congratulations, mate. The album is sensational. Nation of Two. It's out now. VanceJoy.com. World tour, because this podcast has got plenty of people around the world listening at the moment. So they'll be able to check out the day, the tickets and availability for you around the world. I hear you going all around the globe.
Europe and then America and then back in September. So
not all around the globe, no Greenland, no Africa. But a pretty good tour. Hey Vance, are we still calling each other Bubby, or was that a last year thing?
I think I heard you say Bubby earlier. Yeah, definitely. I mean, right. The amount of people that have really embraced Bubby as a word, and like, all that time invested in Bubby, it's got to keep going, right?
I'd like to, Bubby.
I love you too, Bubby.
Thank you so much.
I don't think he said, did you say I like you?
Yeah,
I said I'd like to, and I got an I love you back, and never felt so hit on, and I loved it. I love you too, Bubby.
I love you too very much.
Deepest love to my Bubby.
See you, man. Cheers,
love you more.
Man.
Love you more.
See you, guys. Thank
love you more, Bub.
Hey, New Year's Eve. Story.
Topical. No, the rule is...
First show back.
Yeah, it's like no white pants after Labor Day, and you can still talk about New Year's before Easter.
So I've just slipped it in.
Yeah.
I've got to just after midnight, right? And yeah. I went to like a joint function thing. Like a...
Birthday party, New Year's Eve.
No, it was like a... It wasn't just pals. It was like, let's all go to this hotel.
A venue. Yeah. Right, yep.
Let's go to this hotel. And so everyone's a bit boozed. It was about 12:30. And this guy comes up to me and goes...
He had Vance join your spa?
And goes, hey, Andy, you've got to help me out. And this other guy goes, oh, Con, leave him alone. And I said...
Classic. This is a classic.
And so,
invest in my business.
And so he says to me, look, can you marry my girlfriend and I right now? And I said,
right.
No.
Well, so you were in your ship's captain uniform. I can legally because I'm a ship's captain, but I'm not going to because I'm off the clock.
I said, no, I'm not. I'm not a celibate. It's not legal.
I don't want to, is probably what you meant. If I know you.
I think you have to be sober.
Yeah.
Getting married. I think that's one of the rules in Australia. You have to be sound body and mind. I said, are you even engaged? He's like, no. I was like, well, I also think that's...
Consent's right up there.
That's a step. You should probably...
It's not a wizard casting a spell on someone. I'd like do it whether they know it's happening or not.
No, a wedding, yeah.
Can't just zap her from behind and go, you're married to him. Yep.
So I said, that's probably your first step. But I said, before you run off and do that right now on the impulse, I'd recommend, a bit old school, but maybe even just sleep tonight off.
Yep.
Wake up, see how you feel. And even ask permission from the parents.
Yeah, very, very.
So then then Frank arrives. This is the guy that originally yelled at. He's like, Con, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Stop it. And I said, guys, what's going on? And Frank goes, Con's girlfriend's so upset with him. And he reckons that quickly getting married to her now will solve it.
A fart stopper.
So I said, oh, wow, that's new info. I don't think this is a good move, Con. I reckon just
marriage as a band-aid, even with months run-up, is a bad idea. But as an instant drunken midnight New Year's Eve band-aid. Yeah.
So I said...
One of the worst band-aids you can have.
I said, Con, I don't think so. Knowing this now, and she's really upset, he goes, oh, mate, absolutely spitting at me. But I need to pull her back. I need some way. And I said, well, this isn't it. Just sleep it off. Have a go tomorrow. Try and patch things
up. A bunch of flowers. Yeah. Could be worth exploring.
He's like, good call. So, all right, guys, I'm heading off. Good luck, right? Went to the toilet, came back out. Guess who's on the mic?
Oh, no.
Con, down on one knee and proposed to her. And she said yes. So after all the good chat, and this is a good idea. I walked in. He's obviously gone.
Now, you know what? I need something big here. I need a game changer.
So if you're listening, Con, and I think it was Stacey.
Andy wants to marry you. Andy's just slipped me a bit of paper saying I will marry them.
I do not.
Andy's literally saying, ask me now on air.
I do not.
Well, gentlemen, I don't want it to get to the end of the podcast without discussing what I view to be one of the big issues at the moment. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is Australia.
In the world?
Well, no, it's probably Australia. It's probably local to Australia. there's an outside chance there's a mirrored situation happening in New Zealand.
Yes.
Sometimes these things go hand in hand in the Asia Pacific region. I'm talking about chicken nuggets. The no surprises to anyone here. I'm sure you guys are aware. 24 nuggets for $9.95 is back. That's from McDonald's.
Hang on, I wasn't aware. What did you say?
24 nuggets for $9.95 is back.
Wow.
This is what kicked off the Nug War all those years ago. If history is anything to go by, if history repeats, we'll see Hungry Jack's then introduce a $9.90 Nug. 24 nug.
Yes.
They did that last time. They got on by 5 cents.
So they've
And most major chicken retailers will then in the convenience food space will jump on board and begin offering 24 nugs for under a tenner.
So we think it's essentially McDonald's have started a war again.
They have fired the first salvo. I think I have The thing I'd like to talk about today is to do with the McDonald's campaign. Mm-hmm. It's a giant billboard I saw near our houses, and I snapped a photo of it. Mm-hmm. I want to pass it to you guys now. This is the McDonald's ad. Like I said, apologies to the other retailers.
Looking at it now.
Here's the thing. It's pretty standard. 24 chicken nuggets. $9.95 is half the billboard. The other half is the 24-pack spilt over.
Yeah, why have they done that?
That's what I want to talk about. Now, people might have seen this billboard around.
So
it's obviously the 24-pack of nugs and then two bowls of sauce, which you know is a lie because they came in the plastic containers, but I understand for promotional purposes, you have to pretend that people get their sauce out and put it in small bowls.
I do. I always go home and...
I mean, that would just be even too Andy for Andy to do that.
No, God, no.
I'll give him a pass on that because, of course, it's an ad. I'm not going to have a go at him for that. What I wanted to talk to you guys about, and I've actually got a bunch of our valued and important podcasters, our VIPs, up there listening to this at the moment. They have expressed an interest or a proficiency in nuggets as part of filling out the form, which you can do at hamishnow.com. If you want to be involved in the show. They're listening, and we've got the capacity to go to those people to talk about this. It's the fact that it's tipped over. Now, I don't know where I sit on this. I don't know if I love this campaign or if I'm appalled by it.
Can I explain what we mean by tipped over? Normally, there's a box of nuggets. You'd have that box upright.
Well, you would. That's the whole reason they serve it in a box. It's because it's literally a container for containing.
Yes, to contain those nuggets.
And the person
it's as if someone's come to the table
and tipped them over
and just poured the box on its side and let the nuggets just run freely over the table he can eat at a faster pace.
First question. I can't tell. It's a completely white surface. If that's paper, that makes it slightly less of a crime.
Yep.
Yes, if you're eating in at Macca's, you sling the fries out and they go on the tray liner.
Yep.
I understand that happens. The problem I have with this, and the reason I think I'm erring more towards appalled rather than love it, is because it's the number one way to cool your nuggets down, is to get more airflow around them. The whole point of keeping in the box is, yes, I know it's not a thermally insulated box. It doesn't have a silver lining or a foil lining, but you've got a better shot. You got a better shot of keeping the nuggets together, like barbecue hot rocks. And they can heat each other. Yeah. They can huddle in there. Because you've got 24 to get through.
Oh, wait, nug 20. From with this method, 16 onwards.
Yeah, the last few you're eating, you're just like, well, I hate myself, but I'm doing this, so... Let's just finish this thing off.
Exactly.
And
would you do that on a table?
Would you? I don't know if you would.
I might.
Do you know what Macca's is trying to say? Maybe. I'm trying to get in the mind of the marketers here. They've gone, right, what we're trying to say with the tip them over is, you got 24, who cares? You got so many nugs, you don't know what to do with them. You're spilling them everywhere. Yeah. But is that the message you want to send? Shouldn't each nug be as valuable as the next nug? Doesn't this encourage... some sort of nug flippancy that you don't care about each individual nugget?
Sammy, who's a self-proclaimed nug guru on our VIP list. Sammy, have you ever, similar to fries, how you kind of toss them all out on a table?
You ever toss nugs on a table?
Ahoy, boys.
Ahoy, Sammy. Thank you, mate.
And ahoy, Jack, as well, if he's still employed here. I'm not sure. But...
Thanks, Sammy. I'm still here.
Yeah, you wouldn't know. It's the first podcast. But, we had terrible, terrible time from him earlier in the show. A horror beginning.
He kicked it off with a mistake, Sammy.
Absolute beginning horribilis, but he's he's still employed, to answer your question, Sammy.
And now, mate,
are you aware of the picture in question?
Oh, I'm very aware. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, oh, great.
That's good. I mean, I made sure this was distributed.
Oh, I thought he was like dropping it off. Yeah.
I did ask that everyone go and park in front of the billboard. Sammy, have you ever tossed nuggets on the table? What do you think they're trying to say with this ad?
Look, boys, what I think this is a clear example of some Nugget ministry.
Yep.
I reckon probably the Hamburglar's got a bit jealous that Nuggets are trying to take the centre stage at Macca's. So I think he's come, he's knocked them over, something like that.
Oh, you think the Hamburglar's done that? And so the hand in the ad that's dipping in the sauce is someone just trying to make the best of a bad situation.
Exactly. So mid-photo shoot, they only had one shot, similar to Andy by Hamish.
I'm familiar with that.
It was outrage.
I'm familiar with the constraints.
The box tripped over.
And they went...
They went,
do it.
Do it.
Well, do you know what? It's not completely unlikely. I don't think the Hamburglar did it. Thanks, Sammy. Mm. I don't think the Hamburglar did it. if I might say something outrageous. But they know, like you said, we saw what happened 2 years ago with the Nug War.
Yep.
They know we're on a limited time frame here. Mm. If we don't put 24 nuggets out front of $10, someone else will.
Yep.
So maybe it did tip over mid-photo shoot.
Look, it's the rush
we have to get this up.
Rachel? Welcome, ahoy.
Ahoy, boys, ahoy. How are you?
Mate, we're so good. Welcome to the podcast. You've seen the picture.
I have.
Have you ever slung nuggets on the table like that? Do you think it's offensive to the nuggets, or do you think it's celebrating being so flush with nugs you don't care where they land?
Oh, look, I think it's quite offensive. Like, who has time to go home and finish your nugs? I'm always eating them in the car. By the time I get home, that's when I eat my burger. Hey, my nugs come first.
Nugs first, but all right, interesting. I'm more of a burger.
I've never really done nugs first because nugs, you always get nugs with a burger.
Yeah.
But the nugs are to deal with the sadness you feel at the end of the burger. So you can tell your brain, hey, guess what? Yeah. You've got between 6 and 24 more things to eat.
Yes.
And your brain goes, yippee.
I also think for me, feels like I can stuff more nugs in on a fuller.
Yes, it's like packing your socks last in the suitcase. You can stuff them around the edges, put them in shoes.
Finishing up with a quick one here, Ham, and it's kind of out of my hands because...
What a special guest we have in.
We've got a guest. My girlfriend Beck is in. I was telling her that we're starting up the podcast again. We're driving along, aren't we, Beck?
Yes.
And she said... Oh, great, great, because I want my own segment.
This is huge, Beck.
And you know what? I think everyone's actually very confused because...
We don't have a lot of time on the show. I'm only doing it once a week.
It was the wrong term. I just wanted like a little moment on one podcast.
A recurring, like a Moira.
Yeah.
Like a home shopping segment.
You just would like to come in and say something.
Yes.
A one-off.
Yes.
Oh, right. Well,
Before were talking to me and they were like, oh, we're so excited about your segment. And I was like, yeah, same.
Oh, right. You would like the right to say something. Well,
Bring up something. And I know Hayne will be on my side.
Is it conversational or is it more like you want to go away and like we need to like build like audio for it, like music and stuff?
No, it's more
Don't say what it is.
Where Beck just needs to, you just need to vent. Do you need to get something off your chest?
It's more of a vent.
It's a vent. All right, well, we look forward to that segment next week.
Are you making that comeback next week?
Well, yeah. I mean, we've got the whole team here getting ready for sound effects and stuff when she can come in and get her segment opener prepared for next week.
Oh, dear.
I still think it should have a segment vibe.
Have we ever done this with a guest before to come in and tell us that you're coming on next week?
Or do you reckon she should go now?
I mean, look, it's your call. Jack's winding it up.
Jack's already had
enough. And he's hit the bell. Beck's coming back next week.
Thanks, Becca.
I think you might have two things to vent about now.
Yes.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.
Listener.